The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only and is a generalization of common DIY projects. Each home project may encounter unforeseen issues with specific circumstances that may not be covered in discussion on this program. This program makes no representations as to the completeness of the information and expressly disclaims any implied warranties as to the fitness of the information to any particular purpose. Before starting any projects, it's recommended the homeowner research the skills and proper materials necessary, as well as any and all local requirements for permits. If there is any doubt, it is advised a licensed contractor be consulted prior to commencing your particular project.
Welcome to Dream Home Ninjas. This is Mike.
This is Keith.
And this is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hi. Hey, buddy.
So this is our second part of our two-part HVAC mini-series that we got going on here.
Yeah.
Split series.
There's just so much to talk about HVAC.
Well, there's four letters.
Yes.
It's four letters.
It is. It's another four-letter word. But this is not as bad as the last episode we talked about, the four-letter word.
Although mold can get in your HVAC system.
It absolutely can.
Yeah. And we'll talk about HVAC cleaning and maintenance in this episode. Last episode, we talked about the history comparative to like boiler systems and stuff like that.
All right.
The last question I had for you, though, at the end of the last episode.
Part one?
Yeah, part one last week. I want to ask again. So certifications for HVAC guys, how is that in comparison to like the licensing for a plumber?
Well, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's okay.
Why is it horrible?
Don't hold back. I mean, just be honest.
A plumber, you have to be on a journeyman's license for 4 years. You have to work directly with a journeyman for 2 years. And then 2 years, you're in direct supervision as a plumber to get your plumbing license. Then you take a state test in Illinois.
Okay.
With HVAC, you can call yourself an HVAC technician.
Right now?
Right now. And go start working.
I don't even need to do an HVAC class to be an HVAC technician.
No. Anybody that has any kind of mechanical aptitude could call themselves an HVAC technician and start working on a furnace or an air conditioner. On an air conditioner, one license that you do have to work on an air conditioner, you do need an EPA license for the refrigerant.
Okay.
To be able to handle refrigerant, you need to take a test. It's a multi-tier test. There's type 1, 2, 3, and universal. And they all stand for different size units. One is the smallest unit, second one is the next size up, and then the third one's huge refrigerant systems.
Wow. So I'm an HVA tech.
Yeah, you can call yourself that.
I'm an HVAC tech.
For sure. So vetting your HVAC technicians is important. They do have organizations out there. One of them is called NATE certification. It's a very stringent test. So if you're finding a company that is doing HVAC, I would definitely looking for a NATE certified technician.
NATE.
How do you, N-A-T-E.
Okay.
Correct. They've been around for probably about 20 years, really started taking ground about 2005. And they certified people in certain areas of HVAC. You can take an installer test and learn about it. You can take a service high efficiency. You can take a service standard efficiency equipment. You can do air quality. You can do all kinds of different parts of the HVAC system and take individual tests. And part of that, you also have to maintain continuing education with it indefinitely.
So someone certified by NATE is going to be somebody who typically knows what they're doing.
Correct. Also, unions do a very good job of training HVAC technicians, plumbers also.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have like a progressive course that they go through to learn the trade.
So there are union HVAC shops as well?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you're hiring a non-union shop is really when you need to be concerned.
Correct.
Okay.
Or the guy that just works out of his truck, or I know a guy that just works by himself out of his truck. He could be good. He could be bad. You don't really know.
Yeah.
What background do you have? he could say he's done it 30 years and he may be a 30-year vet in HVAC.
But he's been doing it wrong for 30
doing
years.
Doing it wrong. He probably may have never taken any more classes, never updated his education. He knows the basics, understands it, and he continues on.
Okay.
I personally went to a school, got a degree in HVAC, and then I got my EPA license that was part of the course that I took. But I've always continued to educate myself. I went to lots of different classes on all kinds of different systems, boiler systems. I've gone for radiant heat systems. I've gone to Uponor up Minnesota.
What was that? Uponor?
Uponor.
That sounds like something that'd be in...
Uponor is actually a company that's been around for hundreds of years.
Okay.
Yes, they actually make a product called Wearsbo tubing, which is a PEX tubing that you use. Then they started off with the radiant. They actually do water supply.
Wearsbo by Uponor.
Wearsbo by Uponor. Yes,
that sounds like something that's in the Uper part of it.
Oh yeah.
So vetting your HVAC contractor is very important in that.
Yeah. And I mean, like we were talking about on, last week's show, there's a lot of safety issues. So you really want to be certain that you've got somebody who knows what they're doing. Most legitimate places are going to offer a yearly checkup service, typically for HVAC, are they not?
Usually it's a biannual.
Biannual. So twice a year.
You don't really want to test your air conditioner at the same time as your furnace.
Okay.
I know it's inconvenient to have another technician there twice a year, but I strongly recommend before the season starts, have the piece of equipment that you're going to be using for that season checked, tested, and make sure that it's operating the best it possibly can.
And it just sucks. It's the way it is. There in HVAC, there are two seasons, hot and cold.
Correct. And some places like Arizona is just hot.
Just hot all the time.
And they have also different kinds of HVAC systems there too. Because it's so dry and hot, they actually add moisture to the system.
Oh.
Moisture to the house. It's called a swamp cooler.
A swamp cooler?
Yes.
It's a whole separate thing.
It's a whole different world there,
yes. It's not like a humidifier like we're used to here.
Correct. It's pretty much moving air across a honeycomb panel that brings moisture into the air, and adding the moisture actually cools the air down and gives you a better feeling inside your house.
Okay. Speaking of swamp systems, humidifiers.
Swamp.
They just pipe it straight in from Florida, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So with humidifiers, I know that's a huge thing in HVAC that is grossly misunderstood by homeowners. What do you set it at? When do you change it? Are you supposed to run it all year round? It's getting hot or it's getting cold, and then we've got the heat on, so things are getting dry. So we crank that thing up, right?
Right. Yeah. No.
So how does that work?
Well, as it gets colder out, you need to add humidity, but you don't need 40% humidity going on when it's 0 degrees out. You can get away with more with 15% humidity at that point because of the density of the air and all that kind of stuff, if you want to get into that. As you warm up from, say, 0 degrees up, then you slowly increase. I always say, if you see moisture on your windows, turn your humidifier down. Because it's going to grow mold on your windowsills. That's not a very good environment.
And that's not the only environment that water is reaching.
Correct. If you're getting shocked when you touch door handles, are you waking up with bloody noses, or your throat and your nose are hurting, you need more humidity in your house.
Yeah.
And you can achieve that through your HVAC system. You can standalone units that are just a council unit. You can do small portable ones for individual next to your bed. They have different styles, different kinds of humidification kind of units.
See, and I always thought it's a good idea to have a hygrometer on each floor of the house so you know what the humidity is in those areas, because the basement is just a hot spot for high humidity anyway. You need to make sure that's being dehumidified, but the living spaces, you need to make sure that they're at the right humidity. Too dry is bad for your house as well, and not to mention you.
You for sure, because you dry out your membrane in your sinuses, you can get sick a lot easier. You want to keep that membrane nice and warm inside your sinuses.
Not to mention you get ashy skin.
Yeah, for sure. but too much humidity is also bad, but low humidity also is bad for your woodwork in your house, your furniture in your house. It's not a good situation. Oh, I deal with it. I don't mind getting shocked. Well, it's not good for anything in that environment.
Yeah.
And we are talking about comfort.
Well, and that's one of the things. You laughed when I said ashy, but your skin is flaking off. That's just more dust and dander.
Just drink more water.
But that's going into the air and that's recirculating throughout your house. That's more pollutants that you're breathing.
Right. Yeah.
Even though you know, the ashy skin, it doesn't feel soft.
Right.
What do you need when you have
lotion?
Yeah.
Rubs the lotion on the skin.
So if you have a humidifier, you're humidifying your house, there are guidelines, there are charts. If it tells you a temperature, that's where you want to set the humidity and you want to regulate that. If you have a humidifier attached to your HVAC system, you can actually automate that. You can actually have it built onto your thermostat, tied into your thermostat, essentially.
Nice.
You can set your humidity on your thermostat and it would automatically adjust the humidity off the temperature. So these new smarter thermostats actually can do some of that cool work for you so you don't even have to think about it.
Nice.
Also on a humidifier, whether it is the one attached to your HVAC system, it's the console unit that sits in the corner, or it's a small little portable one, it is important to clean it.
Yes.
On a regular basis. Mold does grow in there. You do want to use more like of a distilled water or something that don't have a lot of minerals and impurities in the water because it actually sticks to everything. The calcium could actually powder. And if you have the humidifier going, you can have a white powder all over your house.
Oh.
Make sure you're using the proper waters. Read the instructions on the humidifier that you purchase on what it's looking for the water. And if it has a panel that needs to be changed, the panel can't stay wet all the time. A panel is designed to get wet, air blow across it, move across it, vaporize the air into the air, and then the panel needs to dry out on a cycle. You can't keep that panel wet all the time because you'll get that other four-letter word.
Mold.
No, we don't want to talk about that.
Now, I mean, I've been in houses with you guys where I have seen, you know, you take off the cover and there's a little tube that comes off there for like drainage or whatever, overflow or something. And that thing will be just pitch black all the way through. And it was a clear tube.
Right.
And that's just mold and mildew and nastiness. Absolutely.
Because it constantly has that moisture going through it and people don't change it or clean it. You don't have any cleaning solution on those.
Yeah.
So,
and that's just getting right back into your air that's blowing throughout your house.
So, right. Absolutely.
Whole point of that thing.
UV sanitation definitely helps with that.
Ooh, let's get into that.
Let's get into that after this short little break here at 21.6 The Net.
Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram,
BuzzFeed,
Tinder.
Yeah.
No.
We'll be back after this short break.
Let's Go Racing airs Monday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mike Babich, the voice of Wilmont Raceway, talks all things racing, from the dirt tracks of Wisconsin to the big tracks of NASCAR. See how Mike brings you a daily dose of encouragement using all left-hand turns. Brought to you through the financial support of Wilmont Raceway. For more information on Wilmont Raceway, visit www.wilmontraceway.com.
This is Mia. Listen to my daddy on Dream Home Ninjas.
Welcome back to Dream Home Ninjas.
Your one-stop shop for all the information on your home you possibly could want to know.
Here on 21.6 The Net.
At Slipstream Studios.
Woo! We were talking about maintenance on your humidifier. When we were talking about sanitation, how to maintain and not keep that mold growing in there. Another huge reason why you want to have a certified HVAC technician.
Certified and knowledgeable.
If you have a business, you can get certified with different municipalities for the area that you're in. Like where we're at, Joliet holds a licensing test that you take to be a mechanical contractor.
As a business, though, not as an individual.
As a business, you can be an individual and sign up for that, because if you're going to be pulling permits to do the work, when you're changing out your equipment, you need to permit that.
You have to permit pulling out a HVAC system?
You should.
Really?
Yeah. Anytime you do any kind of modifications to a house.
I didn't think that you have to do that. That's interesting.
Pretty much everywhere. Rockford has one, a test that you take. I know on the North Shore of Chicago, that is a very, very strict test. The stricter the test that they take, the more the other neighboring towns will honor that mechanical contractor's license.
They offer reciprocity.
Yeah.
I know for general contracting, that's one of the things with Chicago. If you're a licensed general contractor in Chicago, pretty much everywhere else will honor that license because the test is such a beast.
Yeah.
Same thing with the state of Illinois. We can work in the city of Chicago.
Because the Illinois plumber's license?
You just got to have a contractor's license. Like our plumbing license, yes, we can work in the city, but you have to have a Chicago contractor's license.
Let's move on with the HVAC, sanitizing your system. So there's a couple things that you should do with your HVAC system. You can do an attached, like a UV light, different kinds of lighting systems that help sanitize the air passing through your system, which then also helps keep that kind of stuff, mold, from growing inside the tube of your humidifier, inside the tray of your air conditioner, that kind of stuff.
Now, I've also seen special filters. There's a standard, like, you know, little crappy paper one you put in
there. The 1-inch filters.
Yeah, they're 1-inch filters.
You got the fiberglass 1-inch filter.
Yeah, and then I've seen these like electrical, I don't know if they're electrified or what the deal is, but they're a thicker unit and they're usually metal inside them that you put in.
There's electronic ones. They actually make 1-inch electronic ones that you put in. You can hook to your circuit board. You have to be careful on the media that you change out inside of it. They do have the a combo unit that has a larger pleated filter with an electronic filter to it. Trane has had them. Lennox has had them. Quite a few of these bigger HVAC, I think Carrier, and their offshoots of different brands. They've all consolidated over the years with the economy the way it's been.
Yeah. Now, are those worthwhile to have?
Absolutely. The better filtration you have, the better air quality you have. Once again, comfort and safety in the house, it goes back to.
Well, and speaking of comfort, safety, and all of that good stuff, and the filtration, I remember we ran into each other on a job where the place was just getting too much humidity and there was no humidifier, and the floors ended up bowing massively because of it.
That was in the summer.
Yeah, it was in the summer, and it was like a dojo or whatever, and a lot of sweaty
gym
dudes, yep. Yeah, and women in there just sweating up a storm, and that's where all the humidity was coming from. And the fix for that, didn't it end up being like opening up outside air?
Closing the outside
closing
air.
Closing off.
So in commercial applications, you do have to introduce a certain amount of fresh air into the system,
okay,
into the unit, the space. That's called an economizer. You have manual economizers where it's just a damper that you adjust and get it to a certain point, so it's constantly adding it. And they also have mechanical ones, and that creates free cooling, and it opens up when the temperature outside is at the right temperature to meet what you need, and it actually brings the outside air like through the blower and just into your space. There's a filter in there,
yeah,
but they're not the high-end filters.
Okay, but you're getting fresh air from outside instead of recirculating right. The same old air inside.
Right, and especially in a office space, which that was an office space before.
Yeah,
they just had them wide open, and it was just dumping the outside humid air right into the space. And no matter how much they tried to cool it, it kept pulling fresh air in with all that humidity, and it wasn't able to pull that humidity out. And yeah, it buckled that floor bad.
Yeah, it was standing up almost a foot when I got there.
Yeah, it was like a huge bubble. Yeah. And that was partially because the floating floor was installed incorrectly.
Yeah,
that got adjusted where they gave it the gap that the manufacturer spec'd all the way around. And it never happened again.
Yeah.
So it was a combination of two things. Humidity, keeping the hygrometer. Hygrometer. Thank you very much.
It's a fun word.
Having those in multiple spots in the house definitely helps get you an idea of what's going on in your house for the humidity.
Along those lines, I had another customer. We installed a floating floor throughout, the living room, down a hallway, into one of the bedrooms. And he did not use his HVAC system. He absolutely did not like to use it. He just kept the door open, the sliding glass door, kept the screen shut. I came over there and it was starting to buckle. And he's like, well, why is it doing this? I mean, we installed the proper gappage around there, but the manufacturer is, you know, sometimes it's only a quarter of an inch for the recommended gap. this thing had absorbed so much water over the year from the humidity. I mean, when I got there, it was pouring rain outside and he's got the door wide open. I checked the humidity. It was 80 some odd percent inside his house.
Yeah.
This goes to, you know, the whole idea about comfort, you know, that's the whole thing.
Some people are comfortable in that environment.
And they call them Floridians.
But for the dwelling or the house, you know, wherever you're living, whether it's a townhouse, condo, maintaining, and we've talked about that indoor air quality. Yeah. This is designed to have better air quality in your house. So if you're just looking at, I'm heating and cooling it, I don't usually open my windows. I don't like opening my windows.
Yeah.
I like to air it out once in a while for sure, but you are creating your own personal environment and you should be comfortable in that space.
Yeah.
When people ask, like, what should I set my thermostat at?
72.3.
Wherever you're comfortable. I like my house like a deep freeze. My house is at 67 degrees in the summer.
Wow.
I like a little warmer in the winter. I'm more at 72 degrees, but that's my typical.
Yeah, I have a range too. It's pretty close to that. Not quite. It's a degree or two off.
I would keep it at 68 all year round, but
yeah,
you know, when you have children, you got to keep them warm.
That's overrated. They make baby blankets, baby clothes. You just don't let her run around in her diaper all the time.
No.
So more about indoor air quality, your duct system, what travels for your forest air heating and cooling system.
The system of ducts in your house?
Quack, quack, quack. No, D-U-C-T, duct.
Now, hold on. Before we jump into this, duct tape. I always thought that was duct tape.
Yes.
With like CK at the end.
It is duct tape.
Well, now
that's the brand
name. Now there's the brand name of that, but it got the name because it's duct tape, D-U-C-T, because it was used for duct work.
Yeah, that's the worst stuff to use for duct work.
Yeah, now we know that, and there's special versions and all this stuff. But I thought for the longest time it was duct tape. All right, keep going.
Having your ductwork clean every 5 years or so. If you have animals, maybe even more frequently than that. There's people that have never done it. Even if a brand new house, I was talking to the duct cleaning company and brand new house, and they actually found somebody actually went to the bathroom in the ductwork.
Yeah.
So during construction, you don't know what those construction workers are doing in your house.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I love the stories and I hate hearing it. But plumbers that pee in the laundry tubs. I know that could be a whole...
Pee in the laundry tubs and the sump pits.
That is completely disrespectful for people's houses. Ask to use their bathroom. Go to your truck. Use a bucket. Like
I've seen construction guys do that. They'll just right there in the tub. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like there is a bathroom in the house.
I recently heard one story. It was a company owner that was in the basement with one of their employees. And he's like, this is what plumbers do. We christen all these laundry tubs. And he whips it out and starts peeing in it. And guess who walks down the stairs at the same time? Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, he was embarrassed. He said, an employee told me. I always heard people joking about it, but actually doing it in somebody's house, like,
see, I've always had a rule as a contractor, or I mean, really any industry I've ever been in is somewhat similar rule, but I always act like there's a nanny cam.
Yeah.
There's a teddy cam somewhere.
In today's society, most people have cameras all over the place. Yeah. So
I don't want to be that contractor who did something stupid or told some joke to one of his guys that was offensive in the house and end up on YouTube for that. Your friend, one of the contractors I knew, was in the friend of yours' house and was talking crap about the woman of the house while he was in the house, and she overheard all of it.
Really?
All right, let's move on.
Ringing a bell.
All right. Because this is where we got a little way from the HVAC here.
Yeah,
we should probably take a break here.
All right.
On the Bump airs Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Hosts Jeff Young and Jim Marshall talk sports and only sports. Well, maybe not just sports. Tune in to see what the best sports show on 21.6 The Net is going to cover.
Welcome to Dream Home Ninjas. Hi-ya!
Welcome back to Dream Home Ninjas. So we got off the track a little bit there, the contractors, but it's always good to hear what some bad contractors do in people's houses.
Peeing in vents.
Well, it wasn't a pee. It was poop that they pulled out of the vent.
What?
It was a poo-poo.
Yeah. So getting your ducts clean is a very good idea. You can even have somebody scope them, take a look to see how bad they've gotten.
I thought about doing that in my house.
Maintenance is very important. Even in boiler systems, you don't really want a boiler system going down in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
You got water running through it. Most of the time, if it's just inside a house, they don't put glycol with it. It's just straight water. So keeping that system maintained and working in a deep freeze in northern Illinois, Canada, wherever you may be, if it's really cold, you could do a lot of damage to your boiler system.
Here, let me ask you this. Is it the propylene glycol or the ethylene glycol? Which glycol?
What about it?
In a boiler.
Oh, you can use either one.
Either one?
Yeah.
There is a glycol that you can ingest into your body.
Propylene.
Yeah.
That is the more common, the preferred one now. It's more biodegradable and it works just as well as the other. That's usually what I would put into my HVAC boilers.
Oh, cool.
He'd put that in his boiler and smoke it.
And that also degrades over time. So that should be monitored. If you do have a system that has glycol in it, you should be checking it out. There are special tools to be able to see what level you can go into freezing before it will expand the water and burst. Checking out your glycol solution in your boiler system should be done every couple of years or so.
So it's pretty much just an antifreeze.
Yeah, you mix antifreeze with the water and you get it to a certain level.
Okay.
Now with duct cleaning though, since we were talking about that.
Yes.
Poop isn't the only thing that can be in your ducts.
No.
Dust builds up, mold can build up.
Well, during construction, you got the sanding of your drywall, you got wood chips, sawdust, like all that stuff falls down in there.
And if you've got the underfloor ducts, those get a lot of garbage in them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had ones that have had inches of water sitting in them.
Under slab vents, yeah. You're talking the ductwork.
Yeah, the under slab ones. The place I was just in last year, we had a huge ant problem, couldn't figure out why. Finally, a guy came out and he said, oh yeah, there's a bunch of candy in your ducts. The kids that lived there before just kept dropping like M&Ms and junk in there, you know, spill or whatever. And
I used to do that with my vitamins. When I was a little kid, I used to throw them in the register. Well, not in the ducts. We had boiler heat. So it was the baseboard and I would just throw them inside the baseboard. Yeah, I got in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Where did these come from? Why didn't you eat your vitamins? Then I learned to throw them outside.
I'm trying to keep the house healthy.
Feed it vitamins.
Now, with duct cleaning, that can be a big deal, though.
That also, it takes special certifications. Look up the certifications. Find people that actually are certified. Find out background about them. Because a guy with a shop vac and a brush is not a duct cleaner.
No, he's only doing about half of the job that should be done.
Right.
He's cleaning the vents, which absolutely should be done. And, you know, hopefully the first couple feet where the majority of the junk is, but that's not everything.
No.
That's not going to take care of the problem completely.
The big square stuff that if you have a basement or you've got ductwork running somewhere, you usually see square vents or round vents, dust and stuff will settle to the bottom, even though you have airflow going across it. Especially if you have a moist environment and then you got the dust, it will all stick to the bottom, stick to the walls. I've seen it look like a carpet inside of some of these vents.
Pretty nasty. I've seen toilet overflows from two toilets up above and seep right into the HVAC. I mean, that's poop in your HVAC system without a plumber doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a couple ways of cleaning it. Brushes that whip around inside the ductwork. Beat it with a big, huge vacuum that sits outside and pulls everything out while they're doing it. Then they can also go in there and sanitize, you know, either steam or different way.
Yeah.
There's even companies out there, even I think the gas company recommends that help conserve gas because you lose a lot of conditioned air out of your ductwork at the seams and stuff. Back in the day, they used to help subsidize you to get your ducts sealed. So they actually will clean them completely and then they put a, like epoxy liner inside of the ducts to seal all the cracks and crevices and you actually get better airflow. You really do have like a 10% air loss in the duct system, but in some of these bad installations, it could be a lot more than that.
Wow.
So taping your seams, sealing it all up, keep the air going where it needs to, keeping the ducts clean, taking care of your HVAC equipment. All of that stuff is strongly recommended to do. And we talked about doing the biannual before the season, air conditioning before in the spring. But you have to be careful on that because you don't want to test the air conditioner when it's too cold out either.
Right.
If it's not 60 degrees or warmer, they're not doing you any justice by doing a tune-up on your air conditioning. Another great two-part episode of HVAC here.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Thank you for joining us here at 21.6 The Net and Slipstream Studios.
We are your Dream Home Ninjas.
And we're checking out.
Ninjas out.
You've been listening to Dream Home Ninjas, coming to you from Slipstream Studios on 21.6 The Net.